This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Hi, this is Jennifer Davies. I am the Assistant Dean of External Affairs at UC San Diego, and I'm here today for the session of Career Talk. We're here with Michael Zeller, who is the CEO of Zementis, which is a big data firm that works in predictive analytics. Don't worry, he's going to tell us all about what that is and why it's important, especially why it's important to your career. Thank you for being here, Michael.
Oh, thanks to Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so if I may sort of paraphrase Donald Trump, big data is huge. Why is it so big, and what exactly is it? What are, when we talk about big data, that's thrown around?
Okay, well, I didn't know Donald Trump sounds like that. It was almost like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
need to work on my
I think with big data, a lot of people disagree what it actually should be. Mm-hmm. It's a term that's really associated with lots of data, and very often it's characterized with three V's, volume, velocity, and variety. Mm-hmm. So volume is just lots of data. We're collecting more and more data. Velocity is the data is coming at us faster and faster because we can collect more from sensors, from all sorts of devices. And variety, it's not just your typical binary type of data, but it's actually voice, sound, video, all sorts of types of data that we now need to manage, store, and process, which kind of leads to the ultimate thing with data, that is, what is the value? What's the, what I call V number four,
yeah.
Right?
I was going to get there.
Value. So what you actually do with the data is what's most important. So that's kind of, I think getting down to the point of, downstream, what do we want?
So what, I know there's lots of things that people are doing with big data. What are some of the things that you see that, will resonate with people, that the kind of projects or improvements or processes that either businesses or healthcare, I know it's everywhere. So what are some, great specific examples of how it's being used?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It really impacts virtually any industry. And if you look, for example, at the financial industry, it's what you can do with fraud detection, for example. You can have all these elements of data that you're coming in through a transaction for your credit card, for example. But then there's social aspects of your behavioral patterns. And then you have millions of customers doing that at the same time. Suddenly you have big data and you need to be able to process it intelligently and very fast. In marketing, we see applications where you can use it for cross-sell and upsell opportunities. Probably everyone is familiar with Amazon and what they recommend you. Mm-hmm. But the better you can do that, the more impact it will have on the customer experience, but also on your bottom line, because you will be able to sell the right things at the right time to the right customer.
There you go. That's the secret sauce right there.
But, it transcends into healthcare. We can do things today in healthcare because we are collecting more and more information. Digital patient records is just the first step. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we actually leverage that to drive a different set of insights than your typical clinical study, which has just a few people? Mm-hmm. What if you could actually look at the impact of a certain drug across a million people? Mm-hmm. It's a whole game changer in that market. And I think big data was the big hype probably the last few years, but I see it being eclipsed even by a new hype on IoT, the Internet of Things, which we're collecting more and more data from all these devices, from all these sensors, so it's driving even more big data opportunities for us.
Okay, so big data was big, and now it's just getting even bigger because there are so many opportunities because of all the devices, your smartphones, your Fitbits, but so now, talk a little bit about what your company does, because, so with big data, there's a lot of capabilities, and one of them is predictive analytics, which is kind of self-explanatory, but why don't you talk a little bit about that and what your company does in that space?
Yeah, so we kind of focus on the tail end of data, so what you do with it, V number four, the value that you create with it, and predictive analytics is kind of the ideal methodology to apply to data. The more data you have, the more statistical algorithms become applicable. So if you think about your classical business rules, if this happens, do that. If mm-hmm. the sensor exceeds value X, shut up the valve. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, so if then else. Very simple, explicit knowledge, we call that. With data, we turn this around. We have more and more data, historical information about what happens in certain circumstances. And by going through that data and using statistical algorithms, we can actually predict what is going to happen in the future. Some of those algorithms even mimic how our brain works. So they learn from past experience. You know, we call this neural networks.
You're scaring me now.
Well,
the robots are taking over.
It goes into the AI space. I don't know, Stephen Hawking recently warned us that AI will be kind of the doomsday of mankind. I think
Terminator 2, okay?
We're still far, far away from it, but we're using some of those basic capabilities to learn from data and then make, you know, basic predictions. Like if you look at your customer patterns and, you know, certain patterns always meant it was a high-risk customer that was a bad, you know, candidate for a certain loan, mm-hmm. For a certain credit, then you can use that information to determine risk appropriately. And, you know, with appropriate risk, you can really, you know, make sure that the process is in place to either safeguard your company not to do this particular, mm-hmm. not to offer this particular product, or to price it accordingly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunity in predictive analytics. And if I look at like business intelligence, classical analytics, mm-hmm. predictive analytics is the next natural step.
Okay.
BI is looking backwards. So we're looking at the history of what has happened. We're creating reports. We're creating dashboards. But we're always looking backwards. And when you're driving your car, you want to look forward, right? You want to be predicting, you know, what is the car in front of me going to do? Are they going to brake, swerve, you know, take the exit, take not the exit? That's what we need to do. And predictive analytics gives you that capability that instead of creating more reports and mm-hmm. more dashboards, we actually have automated decisions. So for many of the mundane things, now algorithms can make that prediction, get the right recommendation. No human has to look at it, which frees us up to actually look at the important things and the things that really, truly need our attention.
So, what, I mean, you had talked about, you know, credit risk, but what are some of the other mundane things that we're willing to say, okay, computer, you can do it? With the predictive analytics, I mean, are there other examples you could provide?
Yeah. So, I mean, recommendations are one thing. So, mundane things is like which click ad should you see, which recommendation, which other product might you be interested in? But maybe I'd like to come back to the IoT, the sensor data. Mm-hmm. If you look at manufacturing, large manufacturers churn out millions and millions of parts, and you, at the end of the production line, you have quality control. And you measure, you know, certain things, either optics or electricity, currents, and that determines if that part is good or bad. Now, if you do this a million times a day, the best thing that you can employ here is a predictive model that determines, you know, how likely is this part going to be good or bad. And that helps us really automate more effectively, produce, you know, many more parts at a higher quality, with less risk of failures downstream. I think, you know, one of those the parts would be kind of the airbag sensors, okay. Right, which we've seen huge recalls.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a very stringent quality process, you'd be able to determine, you know, at the end of the production line that, you know, this is good or this is bad, which they probably do to a certain extent. But the more we can do that, the more we can actually drive value from the data that we're already collecting today. You don't want a human to do like 1,000 decisions at that point. You want, for all high-volume decisions, I'm not saying strategic mm-hmm. decisions, like should I enter this market or that market, mm-hmm. but all of these micro-decisions that we take during the day, that's where predictive analytics is ideal for.
Now, I've heard, because I've spoken to other people in the big data field, and they said that this is a huge growth in terms of employment in San Diego. And it's, for a lot of companies, it's very hard to keep up and hire the quality people. Are you seeing that? And sort of, if you were interested in, you know, big data or predictive analytics, you know, what would your recommendation or advice be in terms of this field? Sort of what are you seeing in terms of the demand?
Yeah, the demand is as big as big data, the big data term, I think. But I wouldn't even say it's really big data driving that, but really downstream of what you do with the data, again, coming back to data science and predictive analytics. So I think what's called the sexiest job in the 21st century is data scientist. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that, you know, go through the data and analyze it and build predictive models. Mm-hmm. So these are the skill sets we really, really need. I believe McKinsey estimated we have a shortfall of 140,000 to 190,000 people in the next few years that are in the data science field. So there's a tremendous opportunity, and skilled labor is one of the challenges. San Diego, I think, is lucky because we have a cluster of advanced analytics companies. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a great place to be for a predictive analytics company. That's why we're here, mm-hmm. rather than in the Bay Area. But we need to do more. We need to do more at the university level, at the education level, professional education, to drive the data science and the predictive analytics education.
So if you were interested in this, you should have your computer science undergraduate degree. Is that pretty much like...
That is one of the routes.
Yeah, what are some of the other ones?
And I might be biased. So from my background, I'm a physicist. So I ended up, something that's very close to physics and math as a major. And I think we have a mixture of physics, math, computer science, and that's what really makes it challenging, because you have algorithms on one side that you need to understand statistics, basically, mm-hmm. And you have computer implementation of that. So how do you run a particular algorithm in parallel on a cluster of 100 machines to be effective? So the complexity of those solutions is the beauty is, but also the challenge. I'd say a fundamental education in computer science, math, and physics is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. However, you also need to be able to look at the business side and say, what do we do with this? I mean, we can answer those questions, but what are the questions that we need to answer?
And why do we need to answer them? Is there a real value, or is it just answering a question that popped into our head?
and there's I think, a great shortage on management skills of identifying what questions to ask and how data can become relevant to the business. That's the paradigm shift that we have to see here, is that data has to be regarded as an asset, as an important asset to the business. And people haven't thought about that at all previously. And now that asset also loses value over time. Mm-hmm. So the faster you can use it, derive value from it, the better I think your business will be in the future. And it will be something that will differentiate, I think, the winners and the losers in the world very, very quickly in the business world. The guys who are able to drive value from data and apply machine learning, apply those algorithms, are the ones who will dominate the next cycle of our business. We see that already in terms of the investments that are made. If you look at Google, Facebook, Baidu, those are the ones who are actually hiring the professors that are leading certain machine learning research from the universities into the business side and direct them to do the research for that particular company. So that's something to watch for.
Well, you said something that was sort of interesting, and I think this is a little bit what you talk about with your company, is sort of the translating from I can get all this data and analyze all this data, mm-hmm. and then the business case for the data, and sort of having a translator for those two things. So it could be that you could be that business side, right? Mm-hmm. So you might not be the computer science whiz, but you'll mm-hmm. able to frame the question as well. So there's opportunities in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think if you're coming from kind of an MBA side, mm-hmm. The important aspect there would be to kind of realize what can be done with data, what kind of algorithms are out there. You don't necessarily need to understand all the details, but you need to be able to say, oh, I have this type of data, and I can actually get inside, build predictive models that predict a risk for my business from that particular data set. just realizing that that can be done is I think the first step to experimenting, putting a project together, and then managing kind of this diverse team of IT, computer scientists, data scientists, and the business side to answer the question. And it's not trivial, but I think as we become more and more sophisticated in dealing with data and applying those algorithms, we'll see that that business mentality come together.
So when you're looking at resumes, like I'm sure you get a lot of resumes, you know, what are the things you're looking for? And then also, are there sort of personality traits that make someone, you know, tailor-made to be a data scientist or to work in this world, whether you're the person coming up with the business cases?
Mm-hmm. I think it's really the being inquisitive, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at opportunities across different fields, so that the multidisciplinary, I think back when in research we called it interdisciplinary research, where you look across boundaries of, you know, from physics to computer science. That's where the interesting things happen, and same here. So people who are interested in more than just one particular thing, it's not just computer science. I don't want to just be programming, but these algorithms to understand and how they work is actually very fascinating. And then the business application is the third, you know, leg of that stool. So when I look at resumes, I might be a little bit biased because we're a tech company and mm-hmm. we implement products to solve those solutions. So we're mostly focused on the data scientists and the computer scientists to actually implement software. But if I'm a business, one of our customers, I would say, okay, I need someone on the management side to understand this and to know which questions to ask for the business and which opportunities, which project opportunities to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was talking a little bit about personality traits. I mean, are data scientists lone wolves, or does it have to be collaborative? I mean, or does it both? Like, you know, you go and you mine data, and then you come back for the answers.
That's a good question, but I think that's true for almost every different subject. There are the lone wolves in mm-hmm. any industry, in any field you go, and those maybe some superstars. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would always say it's the collaborative approach that succeeds. You have to be able to work in teams. You have to be able to share your knowledge. You have to be able to translate what you find, you know, as a data scientist, what algorithms apply mm-hmm. to a certain data set, to the business side so that they understand what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the communication skills are really, really essential here.
Well, that is an interesting thing. So have you noticed a change in terms? Do you ever have to convince businesses about the importance of big data or predictive analytics anymore? Was that something you used to have to say, like make more of a sales pitch, and now they get it and they just want to go? You know, mm-hmm. sort of what does that look like? And when you're saying this is the business case for it, what do you say, or what's the aha moment for them?
Mm-hmm. It used to be harder to convince them that predictive analytics and machine learning is something of interest. Big data is something that they should be pay mm-hmm. attention to. I think the benefit of all this hype is now everybody pays attention, so that's good.
They want to sound good at the cocktail party, right?
Exactly, but the hard part is how do you get started? Mm-hmm. And that's where most customers we talk to have a significant challenge, because it's just a different mentality to look at data, to be able to capture it appropriately, to process it, and to experiment. And the tough part with predictive analytics often is that you can't easily quantify the ROI, the return of investment up front. You actually need to go and try certain things before you can say, yes, this works. Mm-hmm. I can actually build a predictive model based on the data that I have today. Because sometimes the outcome may be, well, it's almost working, but we need to collect these data feeds first before we can build a true model. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things where I think companies still are struggling. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to invest, to experiment. And that culture, I think, has to come maybe a little bit more from the Bay Area to mm-hmm. the general business population, to experiment. Rather try something, fail fast, but be able to invest up front in the technology, even though you're not exactly sure how much the payoff will be. You know there's value in data, there's value in predictive analytics, but the quantification of that value will come along, you know, as you do the project.
You were saying that they face significant challenges. Is this one of those things where they're just say, like, help us with our business, and it's this vague thing? Or do they say, listen, we need to have less product error on this widget? Because mm-hmm. I'm assuming the second would be easier to solve because yes. you at least know what the problem is. Or is it right. more people just like, help?
We see both classes. So our typical customers are the advanced users of predictive analytics. They've already realized this is what they need, this is what they would like to do. They have data scientists typically on staff, and they build lots and lots of models. Because our products are facilitating the deployment, the execution of predictive models as in part of the business IT systems. Those are the ideal, I think, leaders of that we see. But there is a large, I think, set of followers in the business that still are trying to figure out what to do. They said, we've heard this topic, this big data thing, we've heard machine learning is important, but we're not quite sure what to do yet. And that's what, when I think mentioned earlier, the shift in mentality, the realization that there is data that's been collected across different silos in the organization that people just didn't even know about. You know, kind of this first investigative approach, what they have, kind of take an inventory of the data sets that are available, and then go and try to see what questions they would like to answer from that. So I would say we see both. We like to pursue the advanced users.
We always want to go for the advanced ones, the A student.
Yes, but we see lots and lots of other businesses asking at least the right questions now.
Well, thank you so much. This has been really very interesting. Like I said, big data is big and getting bigger. So this was a really interesting conversation, and I really thank you for being here today, Michael.
Okay, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully we shed some light on the depth of big data.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.